1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. And we're picking up where we left off last week. Say, preacher, where did we leave off last week? Talking about the second category of some of the problems that we come to Christ with. And those problems were financial, medical, and dental problems. We normally come to Christ with some of those problems. Amen. And looking at our scripture text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19, you can probably surmise what we're going to talk about this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, and we were spared last week because we're going to be talking a little bit about our diet. Amen. And we didn't do that last week because we knew Thanksgiving was coming up. Amen. I don't want to ruin anybody's Thanksgiving, including my own. Amen. So we'll discuss that today. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Everybody there say amen. All right. And again, we're going to try to be brief today. This is a two-part message, so it may have to be a three-part message because I'm going to try to get you guys out here before you turn into an icicle. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Read that together with me. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Paul here is dealing with some moral issues here in the latter half of chapter number 6. And he's dealing with the moral issues in regards to our bodies. And he makes a statement concerning our bodies there in verses 19 and 20. He said, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He said, you don't know this? He said, which you have of God and you're not your own. That's the statement that he's making when it comes to these moral issues. And he says, you're bought with a price. He says, so therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so with that statement also applies to our topic for today. Say, preacher, what's that? We're going to be dealing with some medical problems that can be minimized, if not prevented altogether, just by taking notice of what we eat. Amen. We're in this generation now when a lot of things are genetically induced. And if they are genetically induced and you eat that animal, guess what? They're going to have some complications on you as well. Not to mention, there's a lot of things out there that we just shouldn't eat. Amen. Now, the saying is, you are what you eat. That could be true. That may be not true. Amen. But I can tell you this, different foods affect different people in different ways. And some people can eat everything they eat and they won't gain a pound. Some people just look at food and they gain 10 pounds already. Amen. So when we look at this, you know, don't take this and say, well, preacher, you're talking about me. No, I'm just talking in general because everybody's metabolism is different. And we're going to look at some things here this morning that you might want to consider in regards to maybe some things that we're ingesting could be a cause to some of our medical conditions. It might be. I'm not saying it is. But I'm just saying there's some things that we do want to take into consideration when we think about medical problems and our health. Father, speak to our hearts now as we look at this subject today, Lord. There's some things that may be a little bit what we don't want to hear around the holiday time when it comes to things that we eat. But then, Lord, at the same time, if some certain things that we're ingesting and, Lord, eating on a regular basis are dangerous or hazardous to our medical condition, then, Lord, help us to use discernment to know certain things maybe we ought to stay away from and certain things maybe we ought not eat. Lord, and give us wisdom to know what we should do as God's people. We only have one body, and that's the only body that we have to serve you in. Lord, help us to care for it and take care of it, knowing that it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. We have it of you. We're not our own. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this subject matter today and we be brief with it, and that we'll look at some things next week, that, Lord, you might guide us and direct us in our own pathway. Lord, everybody is so different metabolically speaking. And so, Lord, help us to know what we can do, what we should do with our bodies and in regards to medical conditions that can or cannot affect us. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given. Prepare our hearts with the message that we'll hear in the song that will be sang. And then, Lord, we pray that our hearts would truly be open. And, Lord, receiving of the message today, knowing that what we talk about is truly biblical, and we will see certain things in the Bible. And Lord, I do pray that if there's one today without Jesus Christ, you speak to that man, that woman, boy, or girl, helping them to know that they must have Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior before it's everlasting too late. And, Lord, this is the life that we have now, and help us to use it to glorify you and use it profitably. That, Lord, you may receive the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for loving us, Lord, again. Raise up those that are ill and help us, Lord, to listen today intently, looking at the word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Miss Antoinette's going to see we will get the heat on by this afternoon. So, praise the Lord. This will be the last time you have to tough it out. Amen. Well, what's worse, being cold, too cold, or too hot?
Too hot.
So now watch. We'll turn the heat on. Everybody will say it's too hot now. You know how that goes. Amen. But praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we do have heat that we can turn on. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And Shane, I think I'm on. Amen. And looking at where we've come from thus far, let me look at my notes here. Our major theme here is ordinary sinners with an extraordinary Savior. We began looking at Matthew 1:21, where it said, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And we started with the idea that many people come to Christ thinking that he saves them from their problems, when in essence what he saves them from is the problem of sin. And sin is what's going to cause us to go to hell. But now what happens with the problems that we come to Christ with? Well, we still have them. Amen. But he does give us a way to navigate through them. And that is the one thing that we've been looking at, is some problems that we come to Christ with. Of course, the ultimate problem of hell is done with. That's over. It's done. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day for our justification. So when we have Christ, we have what we need for the problem of hell. Amen. So that's a done deal. It's over. But now what about the problems that I do have? And we talked about some of the problems that we do have. And we said today, come into categories. And the first category was relational problems, dealing with marital, parental, and occupational problems. And many come to Christ with some relational issues. And oftentimes that's why some people come to Christ, because they want some freedom from the parental, the marital, or the occupational problems. I know I had some serious issues with my occupation. Amen. My boss gave me fits. Amen. And as a result, I said, I got to do something about this. I started drinking. And guess what that did with my problem? Absolutely nothing. Amen. It made me broke. Amen. It did that. But when I came to Christ and he dealt with the sin issue that I had, guess what? Everything went up from there. Amen. I didn't need the drinking anymore because I had the Savior. Amen. And he made the time with my boss sweet from that point on. Amen. And come to find out that the problem wasn't so much my boss. The problem was me. Amen. Say, preacher, it wasn't me, it was my boss. Amen. That's your own prerogative. Amen. But we found out that we do have those issues, relational problems. Then last week, we began talking about financial problems that we have as well. Financial problems can be minimized if we just start tithing and giving offerings to God. Amen. Doing what God wants us to do, being a giver, a cheerful giver. And that will minimize some of the financial problems. Today, we're talking about other problems that we have in addition to parental problems, marital problems, occupational problems, and financial problems. We also have medical problems and dental problems when we come to Christ oftentimes. Amen. And I mentioned this, with these problems, a good portion of our problems are self-inflicted. Let's just be honest. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, we created a monster. Furthermore, many of our problems started when we were children. We were monsters from the childhood, amen? Some worse monsters than others, amen? But many of these problems started from our childhood. And lastly, some problems can be minimized as we apply the scriptures, the word of God. And that's what Jesus Christ does. He gives us his word so that you and I can adequately navigate through life's problems. Aren't you glad God gives us a problem-solving book, amen, to help us out? And what a blessing it is to know that we do have such a book. Amen. So once again, we're going to see how we can minimize some of the self-inflicted problems that we have. Financial is already done. Occupational is done. Marital and parental, those are all behind us. We've got the solution for that. Now medical and dental. We'll touch on dental next week. But today, we want to concentrate more on the medical problems that we have when we come to Christ. And let me say the obvious here, I'm not a doctor. Okay? Don't look at me like I'm Dr. Oz or Dr. Spock or one of these other doctors. I'm not a doctor. However, my sister is a doctor. And my mother and my other sister are both registered nurses. So I can say that I've heard medical advice all my life. I was the one that could not pull the wool over my mom's eyes when I said I was sick. She knew all the tricks in the book. My son just tried that the other day. Joshua was sick, and so he wanted some sympathy for his chores. He didn't want to do his chores, so he took the thermometer and put it up close to the light bulb. No, the candle. And it said 102 or 103. He said, "Look, I am sick." My wife said exactly what my mother said, basically. Don't even try it. Don't even try it. He said, "But look, it reads 100 and such," while he's smiling. If you were sick with 100 and something, you wouldn't be looking that way. Amen. So I couldn't pull any wool over my parents' eyes. And when it comes to medical problems, we're going to look at three different things here and probably won't get to all of them today. We're going to see that we need some exercising dietarily. That means we've got to watch what we eat. Then we're going to see some exercising regularly. That means we've got to get out and exercise. Then number three, we're going to see we need to exercise some common sense. Amen. And that will go a long way in the medical problem department. Amen. By the way, a good majority of medical problems that we have can be traced back to our diet or lack thereof. Amen. Hey, some of the folks that lived on the farm back in the days didn't have many of the illnesses that we had because they ate well and they worked well. Amen. What does that mean? They ate balanced diets and they worked hard. Our job now is on the computer. There's no physical exertion in that whatsoever. Amen. So when you're looking at this, let me say this first of all, what we eat and how much we eat can lead to medical problems. It can also add to overweight and obesity. Organic products are good, but even eating too much of organic products will cause overweight problems and generate health concerns if we're not watchful. Y'all looking at me already. I'm glad I didn't hear that preaching before Thanksgiving. By the way, children, vegetables and fruits won't hurt you. And we talk about bananas in my house. Oh, bananas. Oh. Broccoli. Oh, broccoli. Oh, shoot me. I swear, that's better than eating this. Amen. It's not that bad. Not that bad. What are some causes of medical problems and overweight? I've got an article here, the 10 leading causes of some medical problems and overweight. By the way, you might be shocked at this. On the scale of being overweight, I'm overweight. I was in the military, and I had to maintain a certain weight, and I was in charge of the weight program. So it behooved me to be, and I was overweight, believe it or not. You say, "Preacher, you don't look overweight." Amen. I don't look overweight to me, too, but according to the National Society, I am. Amen. And I thought, my soul, I got to watch the candy intake here. Amen. All right. So I'm going to just give you five of the leading causes of medical issues and weight gain. And number one, you'd be surprised, is genetics. Genetics. A strong component in medical problems and overweight is genetics. And parents that have certain problems, oftentimes your children are going to have those problems. Amen. Amen. The number two one is, of medical problems is engineered junk food. How many of y'all like junk food? I do. Amen. It says these products are designed to be cheap, last long on the shelf, and taste so incredibly good that they are hard to resist. I got to say amen to that, amen, because they are hard to resist. The third problem, the third thing that causes medical problems and weight gain is a food addiction. There are some people that are just addicted to food. It says many sugar-sweetened, high-fat junk foods stimulate the reward centers in your brain. These foods are often compared to commonly abused drugs like alcohol, cocaine, nicotine, and cannabis. It was said that certain things out there on the shelf had certain things contained in them that made you want more of that. And that's why you said, I mean, I remember that Lay's commercial. You can't eat but one. You can't just eat one. Y'all remember that? Amen. And I remember the one, the classic one, was the frog that was turned into a prince. And they said, eat one of these Lay's and you'll turn back into a prince. And so the frog ate it, turned into the prince. Of course, it's Lay's, so you can't eat but, you know, just one. So he eats it again, turns right back into the frog. Amen. And that was that commercial. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I do. It says junk foods can cause addictions in susceptible individuals, which means you could have that potential to be this food addict. These people lose control over their eating behavior, similar to people struggling with alcohol addiction, losing control over their drinking behavior. Amen. Another one is aggressive marketing, which feeds into this. Aggressive marketing. Junk food producers are very aggressive marketers. Their targets can get unethical at times as they try to market very unhealthy products as healthy foods. How many of y'all know the cereal commercials? They always tell you all the good stuff in the cereal. They don't tell you how much sugar content is in it, amen? This has vitamin this, that, and the other. And the kid's like, see, it's got vitamins in it. Yeah, but it's got 1,000 grams of sugar. It don't tell you that, amen? And by the way, in today's world, it says children are becoming obese, diabetic, and addicted to junk foods long before they're old enough to make informed decisions about the things they're eating. Number five, this is interesting, insulin. Insulin is a very important hormone that regulates energy storage, among other things. One of its functions is to tell fat cells to store fat and to hold on to fat they already carry. The Western diet promotes insulin resistance in many overweight and obese individuals. This elevates insulin levels all over the body, causing energy to get stored in fat cells instead of being available for you. So those are the top five, and there's five more that I'll talk about next week, but let me give you number six here. I think this is important because this happened to me. Certain medications, although they're designed to help you, many have side effects. One of those side effects could be a weight gain or something like that. Many pharmaceutical drugs can cause weight gain as a side effect. And, for example, antidepressants have been linked to modest weight gain over time. Other examples include diabetes medications and antipsychotics. These drugs don't decrease your willpower. And they alter the function of your body and brain, reducing the metabolic rate or increasing your appetite. And I was a victim of one of those. Amen. I had one of my surgeries and they had put me on this medication. And man, I gained weight like you wouldn't believe it. And I ate the same thing. So there's just some things here that we need to consider when it comes to medical problems. They're brought on by certain things, not just because I look at food. Amen. And so certain things are going to cause medical problems. What risks of medical illnesses are increased when we have these issues, or we are overweight, or whatever the case may be? Diabetes is one. High blood pressure is another. Heart disease is another. Stroke is another. High cholesterol is another. Certain types of cancer, another. Arthritis is another. Gallbladder disease and gallstones, another. Osteoarthritis, another. Gout is another. Those are all things that can be generated from us having a bad diet and then increasing medical problems. And again, I said that many times the medical problems that we have can be minimized if we just watch our diet. Parents weren't insane when they said that we need to eat vegetables and have fruits, children, and less sweets. Amen. By the way, let me show you that having a problem medically and having a problem with weight was something that's not foreign to the Bible. Take your Bibles, go over to Judges chapter 3 and verse 17. Some of you probably know this guy already. His name is Eglon. He was a king. Judges chapter 3 and verse 17. And today this would not be politically correct to say such a thing. Judges chapter 3, verse 17. Obviously, there were some issues with restraint on King Eglon. Judges chapter 3, and come down to verse number 17. This was a man that was a judge, or not a judge, but he was an oppressing the Israelites. And there's a guy by the name of Ehud that came in and judged them. Notice verse 16. Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very, say those two words with me, fat man. That, today, that would be not correct to say. That's politically incorrect to say that. But the Bible lets you know that even back then, there were some problems that we had with diet and what we ate and what it did to our bodies. And it says that this guy was a fat man. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. That was an enemy of God, but this is a man of God. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18. How many of y'all remember Eli? Eli was a judge of Israel and a priest. 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, and the sons of Eli had been killed. And notice what it says down there in verse number 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there had been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate. And his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man, and what's the word? Heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. So being large and of size was nothing new to Bible times. There's always been an issue with what we ate and how much we ate, and the medical implications on us. Solomon had a humorous way of putting this over in Proverbs 23. Go over there, Proverbs 23. And again, I'm glad I didn't say this before Thanksgiving, because I wouldn't have been able to enjoy my eating. Yeah. Proverbs 23 in verse number 2. And notice what he says here, verses 1 and 2, Solomon. Thou sittest to eat with a ruler. Consider diligently what is before thee. Notice what he says. And put a what? Knife to thy throat. Can you see the picture that Solomon is painting? He says, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. In other words, if you can't control your eating, he says, put a knife to your throat. Letting us know that there can be some implications to my appetite and what I eat and the result of that. And he says, if you can't control it, this is what you need to visualize. Well, let's see some things here in the Bible about the dietary exercise that we should have. By the way, can you eat anything you want to? You can, at your detriment. Amen. And we're going to see several things here because I want us to gain an understanding and an appreciation for how God made us. Let me look at this here. So let me get this here. I want to say this in the right way. Let's consider the Old Testament eating restrictions, first of all, as we talk about proper dietary restraint, because you can't eat anything you want to. Let's start in Genesis chapter number 1. And I want to spell some things out for us here, because again, the goal and the intent here is to make sure that we're cautious of what we're eating. Cautious. And nobody likes to be told what they can eat. Nobody. I don't. And I'm sure you don't. Children definitely don't. You can't have that. Why can't I have that? Well, it's not good for you. Yes, it is. They said it on TV. And what we want to do here is just trace our eating. Is that fair? Can we do that this morning? Amen. All right. And so properly exercise some dietary restraint. Let's see some things here, amen, because we might have to restrain what we eat. All right, so how many of y'all would agree that we were made to eat? Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 1, notice verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every what? Herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for what? Meat. Now, meat here is a generic term which means food. So in other words, God says everything that grows on the tree and that's being sprung out of the ground that's good for food, you can eat. Notice what he did not say. No animals are included in that. So there goes your hamburger. There goes your hot dog. There goes your steak. There goes your seafood. What am I saying here? If we trace the Old Testament eating restrictions, we'll find out that we were made to eat, but we were made to be herbivores. You say, that's no fun. I don't want to be a vegan. Well, amen. Notice verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for what? Meat. And it was so. The animals were the same way. The animals ate of the herbs as well. So there was some uniformity here. In the beginning, before the flood, they ate only herbs, Adam and Eve. Animals ate only herbs. But then in the beginning, after the flood, they ate something different. Go over to Genesis chapter 9. This is after the flood, Genesis chapter 9. Man was made to eat. He was made to eat herbs initially. God here changes the restrictions on their diet. Genesis chapter 9. Notice verse number 1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you should be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Notice this, every moving thing that liveth shall be what? Meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So now the restrictions dietarily have changed. So now they are no longer just herbivores, they are carnivores, or if you would, omnivores. They can eat vegetables, they can eat meat, amen. Aren't you glad for that change? Now you can have your hamburger, now you can have your hot dog, now you can have your steak, now you can have your seafood, amen. But then there was another change. Anybody know what the next change is? The Jews now. Now, by the way, Adam and Eve were not part of the Mosaic covenant with the Ten Commandments. Neither was Noah. Noah had a covenant, and Adam and Eve had a covenant. Now we're coming to the Jews. The Jews did have a covenant of dietary restrictions. Come over to Leviticus chapter 11. So in the beginning of the law, this was to the Jews, to be ceremonially right with God and separated from the world, the Jews had a specialized diet. This diet did several things for them. And number one, it showed that they were a separated people because nobody had this diet. Number two, God restricted them from certain things that were associated with, bad things. And let me just summarize chapter 11. The Jewish diet restrictions here on certain foods were notably to pork and shellfish. They were forbidden, and they had to be ritually slaughtered if they were going to eat any meats, salted, and then all traces of blood had to be removed to satisfy the requirements of the Jewish law. But they could not eat pork. They could not eat shellfish. They could not eat bottom feeders. So, how many of y'all like catfish? There goes your catfish. How many of y'all like shrimp? There goes your shrimp. How many of y'all like lobster? There goes your lobster. How many of y'all like squid? There goes your squid. And so forth and so on. I don't know what your dietary restrictions are. But on the Jewish specialized diet, notice verse 2. Matter of fact, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto who? The children of Israel. Please, please, please notice who it is being spoken to. Israel. Was it being spoken to Egypt? No. Was it being spoken to Assyria? No. Was it being spoken to Syria? No. Was it being spoken to the Philistines? No. So who does this dietary law apply to? Israel and only Israel. No one else had this diet. What was this to do? It was to show they were a specialized people. It was to show they were a separated people. It was to show that they were God's people and nobody else had this diet because certain things in here were unique only to them. Verse number 2, he says, speak to the children of Israel. These are the what? The beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. And then he gives you the land animals that they can eat in verses 3 through 8. Verses 9 through 12, he gives you the water animals that you may eat. Notice verse number 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. All that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an what? Abomination unto you. So he gives the land animals they can eat in verses 3 through 8, the water animals in verses 9 through 12. He gives the air animals they can eat in verses 13 through 23. Notice verse 13, and these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ossifrage, and the osprey, and down through there to verse number 23, he gives the restrictions as to what they can and could not eat. When you come down to verses 24 through 28 and 29 through 30, he gives them some special requirements as to what they could or could not eat. If a Jew ate anything that they were not supposed to eat, guess what happened? They were ceremonially unclean. Do we have that same restriction on us? No. But if we eat some of those animals that maybe are contaminated or maybe aren't the healthiest animals, will we get that contamination? Yes. So going back from the beginning, there's some dietary restrictions that God put down for a reason. Okay? Now let's fast forward. That was under the law. Would you agree with me? Amen. Consider that Christ is the end of the law to dietary restrictions. In other words, Now there is no more law to dictate what we should eat. Come to Romans chapter 3. What am I doing? I'm trying to spell out to you that a lot of problems that we have medically can be traced to the diet that we have. And God from the beginning has always given a dictate, if you would, on what we should or should not eat. Romans chapter 3. You say, preacher, you're ruining my Christmas dinner. Now I got to change my menu. No, don't change it just yet. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Why did Israel have the law? Because maintaining the law gave them their righteousness before God. Okay? Everybody good with that? But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ unto who? All and upon all them that believe. Would that include Israel? Yes. Does that include Gentiles? Yes, all means all. So in other words, now Christ is the end of this law. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come over to chapter 10. Trying to weave a picture here for you so you can see we are made to eat, but certain things maybe aren't good to eat, but now we've got to have discernment on what we eat. Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. Who is his heart's desire and prayer for? Israel. That they might be what? Saved. For I bear them record that they have a what? Zeal of God. They're very zealous. They're excited about this. But not according to what? Knowledge. For they being ignorant of whose righteousness? God's righteousness. And going about to establish whose righteousness? Their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto what? The righteousness of God. So in other words, they're busy doing their thing and they forget that God's doing a new thing. Notice verse number 4. For Christ is what? The end of what? The law for what? Righteousness to who? Everyone that believeth. In other words, he said there was an Old Testament law back there for the Jews. Coming into the New Testament, I want to incorporate everybody, not just the Jews. And Christ is the end of their law and to our law. Amen. And with that goes out the dietary restrictions. Is that what it says? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In other words, we don't have to keep the law to be right with God because Jesus already did. And if we have him, we have the law. Amen. There's a commentary by William Burkett on Romans 10:4. And he says this. There was a threefold law of God, which Christ may be said to be the end of, namely the judicial law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law that they had to uphold, which Christ upheld each one. First of all, the judicial law was that which God by Moses delivered to the Jews containing directions for administration of their civil government. Christ was the end of that law. He abolished it when he was nailed to the cross and crucified and risen again. He abolished that law. The ceremonial law was that which did prescribe certain sacred rites and ceremonies to be observed in external worship of God. Those were special days, feasts, and festivals that they had. Christ fulfilled each one of those ceremonies. They were shadows and types of Christ. Now Christ has come, those cease. Thirdly, the moral law is a holy and eternal rule of righteousness, which given by God to men for the right ordering of their thoughts, words, and actions towards God, their neighbor, and themselves. This summarily is comprehended in the Ten Commandments. Christ kept all three, the judicial law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law, and brought it to an end. Spurgeon said this, Christ fulfills the law's purpose for us. And when we have him, we have all the law requires. So now, knowing that we were made to eat, knowing that we started as herbivores, notice that we went to omnivores. We can eat meat and vegetables. Notice that the Jews had a specialized diet. But now notice that Christ is the end of that law and all of that diet. What can we eat? I'm glad you asked. Come to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. What am I saying here? You and I have got to have wisdom in what we eat, because now you can eat anything. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, notice what it says down here in verse number 1. Because many medical problems can come from what you and I eat. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to, notice this, abstain from what? Meats which God hath created to be what? Received with what? Thanksgiving of them which what? Believe and know what? The truth. Notice verse 4. For how many creatures? Every creature of God. Does that include your lobster? Yeah. That includes your shrimp? Yeah. That includes your catfish? Yeah. That includes your barracuda, if you like them, amen. That includes your shark, amen. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be what? Refuse. Warning sign. If you're allergic to it, I wouldn't eat it. Can I eat it? Yes. How many of y'all like rhubarb? I love rhubarb. But guess what? I'm allergic to it. Preacher, how'd you find out? The hard way. I ate it. And my sisters, nothing wrong with them. I turned into the Michelin man. I had bumps all over me. I was double my size. I was swollen everywhere. And I said, how come y'all didn't get swollen up and get like me? They're not allergic to it. Could I receive it? Yes, I could, at my own expense. Hey, there are certain things that you and I can eat that we should not eat. He says down there, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It may be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. People say, why you bless your food? Because the Bible says I ought to. Amen. I ought to receive it with thanksgiving. I ought to thank God for it. And so every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It may be received with thanksgiving. So when it comes down to this, I need to practice or exercise dietary common sense. Come over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And he's talking about once we get saved, we need to add some things in our lives. Verse 6 says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. You know what temperance is? Self-control. When it comes to what we can and cannot eat, we have to exercise some self-control. There's certain things I just shouldn't eat, certain things I should eat. Preacher, should I do some research on what I eat? Yeah, you should. You should. Because many of the medical problems that we find ourselves in, we're in them because we have not considered what we're eating. Amen. And if it's something that I shouldn't be eating, even though I can't eat it, then it's not good for me. And I need to have common sense eating to have some self-control. By the way, things good for you may not be good for me, and things good for me may not be good for you. Let me give you some things that you should avoid, amen. Fatty foods, sugars, and excess carbs. Common sense will involve caution. By the way, do you know the certain herbs you shouldn't eat? Go over to 2 Kings with me. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, certain herbs you should not eat. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And we're about done here. How many of y'all froze? All right, we're about done. And we'll finish up the next part next week. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And they found these herbs, and they're going to cook these herbs. By the way, I wouldn't caution you finding herbs and cooking herbs unless you know what those herbs are. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 38. The man of God is involved here. This is Elisha. Elisha, it says in verse 38, Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, meaning there was a famine there, not much food. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets, or some soup, as he would. He says, and one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. That's the first sign of danger. If you don't know what you're cooking, don't cook it. Don't cook it. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. That's about what kids say when they see broccoli in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. What happened here? This young man went out there and picked some things that happened to be poisonous. And I don't know how they found out. Maybe somebody ate some of it and passed out. But however they found out there was death in this pot. And so they could not eat what was in it. The man of God had to make it where they could eat it. And they were able to eat it. And so things not good for you should raise alarm. Don't test it. Do you know that certain people can't eat peanut products? Certain kids are allergic to peas. Josh was allergic to peas. He loves them when we have peas. And he loves any, if we have anything that got peas in it, he said, aha, can't eat that. Give me something different. My former pastor, Pastor Bennett, his daughter was allergic to chocolate. There are some people allergic to strawberries. Brother Baldwin is allergic to milk. And he didn't find out until he was a grown man. Every time he ate a milk product, his stomach hurt him and he didn't realize it. And they told him, they said, you're lactose intolerant. You can't have milk products. So there's certain things that certain people just should not eat. So what am I saying? I'm saying all that to say this. Many of our medical problems that we have can come from a bad diet. There are certain things that we can eat, certain things that we shouldn't eat. Biblically speaking, we can eat anything. But certain things I just shouldn't eat because it's going to cause me some problems. It would behoove me not to eat rhubarb. They had a fellowship here a couple of weeks ago, and there was a strawberry rhubarb pie out there. Anybody remember that? I asked somebody, I said, I just kind of had that feeling. I said, is there rhubarb in that? They said, yes. And man, I wanted some. I said, I shouldn't have asked questions. I should have just ate it. Then y'all would have really saw what it does to me. Amen. So when it comes down to it, many medical problems are related. And I'm going to give you a little bit more information next week. And I know you probably say this is more of a health class than anything. Amen. But I'm just trying to let you see that medical problems are directly related to what we're eating oftentimes. And biblically, you can see that there were people in the Bible that ate too much of what they had. And though they had problems. And also, there are certain things that we cannot eat that everybody else can eat. Peas being one of them that Joshua can't eat. I'm so glad I'm not allergic to chocolate. Glory. I would have a miserable life if I was allergic to chocolate. I would have a miserable life if I was allergic to peanut butter because I love peanut butter. I would have a miserable existence if I was allergic to strawberries. So I love strawberries. Amen. By the way, let me give you this. Know what you can eat and know what you can't eat. Know what's good for your body and don't worry about somebody else's body. Know what you can have. Next week, we're going to talk more on the exercise level of that. So go out and start walking now so you won't feel guilty next week. Amen. But when it comes down to this,
Folks, what we eat is a serious thing. And we've got to make sure that what we're eating is not thin. I'm not saying you go overboard and become this psychotic person that, oh, I can't eat this. I can't. I'm not. Don't go that far either. Amen. But don't go so far where you say, well, I can just eat anything and it won't matter. It'll start mattering sooner or later. You know, my son, he's all in the mirror. Look at me, Dad. I'm buff. I can eat anything I want to. Yeah, I say that when you're about 50. Amen. That metabolism starts slowing down. Amen. When I was younger, I could eat anything I wanted to. Why? I was playing football, basketball, running. I had sports year round. I worked outside all the time. Man, I joined the military and they put me in an office behind a computer. And man, my midsection started to just expand. And it looked like I had swallowed a pumpkin for a while. My grandmother had the nerve to tell me that I looked like Mr. Porky Pig. And she said, my wife looked like Mrs. Porky Pig.
Oh, my goodness.
And we said, no, we don't. We stood in front of the mirror. And we said, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Grandma had the guts to tell us the truth. You know why? It was because of what we were eating. And folks, when you're not eating properly, it can bring on all sorts of medical problems. Some of it is genetic, and we can't control that. Some of it is indeed what we eat. Some of it is medicine related. Some of it is just a malfunction in our body. And so it is very important for you and I to know our own bodies and what it is that we can take, what medications are causing this, what genetics are causing this, and on and on and on and on it could go. Why? Folks, if the truth be known, we only have one body to serve God in. And if our body is not well, we can't serve God well. And so our bodies have to be well to serve God well. Now, might God have you with an illness to serve him with that illness? Yes, he did to Apostle Paul. And guess what? He said, his grace is sufficient. And by the way, it is. But certain things are self-inflicted. Let it not be self-inflicted of our medical problems. Let us take control and say, you know what? I don't have to have this medical problem because it's linked to what I'm eating. And do some research on what you're eating and what you can eat and what you should eat. Amen. And by the way, let me stop at saying this. You can eat anything you want to, but it may not be the best thing for you. And you need to, you've got to know what it is you can eat. Again, at the end of the day, the Bible says this, and we'll look at this next week. Bodily exercise profiteth little. And I've heard many a preacher quote that when I was a baby Christian. And most of them were gorging at the table. And so they used that as a hide behind. Well, see, bodily exercise profiteth little. God said it. But that doesn't mean that I can eat like a cow. And then now I look like one too. I've got to make sure I'm exercising some restraint dietarily to make sure that what I'm eating is not causing more medical problems in my life than I really need. We're going to have enough medical problems by ourselves. Somebody say amen. I'm going to have enough I don't need to add to it by eating rhubarb. Amen. And neither do you. Folks, let me encourage you. If you're not saved today, the Israelites went through all that dietary law to be right with God. You and I don't need a law to be right with God. All we need is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. He shed his blood for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. And in him, the law ends because he kept the law for you and I. And his righteousness is what we need. If you've not received Christ today, I encourage you, receive him today. Say, preacher, that mean I can eat anything I want to? You can eat anything you want to, whether or not. But not get to heaven. But if you have Jesus Christ, you get anything you want to and you get to heaven. Amen. And we're only going to be in this body for a short time as it is. So we need to take care of it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, we've tried to look at what we can eat today, knowing that some of what we eat can be causing some of our medical problems. And some of what we eat can be causing some extenuating things in our lives. Lord, as you gave a medical diet and a dietary law to follow for the children of Israel, that was really never given to the Gentiles, to us. But Lord, there's so much wisdom in what you gave. Help us to know what we can and what we cannot eat. And help us to regulate what we eat so that we're not eating excessively. And Lord, not eating what we should not eat. And I pray, Lord, that as we review what we're eating and, Lord, cutting down some of the sugars maybe and some of the excess carbs and some of the other things that possibly we don't need, and Lord, you would help us recognize that medically speaking, we want to be healthy so we can serve you. We only have one body and one life on this side of eternity. And Lord, help us to use it for the glory of God. Give us discernment, give us wisdom, and give us godly information that we may truly see what's genetics, what's not genetics, what's hormones, what's not hormones, what's greed, what's not greed, what's healthy, what's not healthy, what goes with our metabolism, what doesn't go with our metabolism. And Lord, help us to choose wisely to cut down and minimize medical problems that could be coming from our diet. Bless now this invitation. I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl that does not know Christ, that they would come to know Christ, which is everlasting too late. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name.